53. We'll sing all five stanzas. You stand and help us. How firm a foundation is laid for your faith in his excellent word.
We stand. for something or you'll fall for anything, won't you? I'm glad I know the Bible. We talked about that this morning. The pastor's been talking about the truth. You know, when you know the truth, it'll help you separate from everything else that is not true. And the Bible is the book that'll do that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, ye shall know the truth in John 8:32. And the truth will set you free. We're not bound this evening because we know somebody and he's done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. So don't be discouraged. Don't get down. We got somebody that we haven't saw yet with our physical eye that has done for us what we could never imagine. So the next time you have an issue, a problem come your way, you think of this little song. Jesus has certainly helped you through that thing. Feel. If he can paint a sunset in the western sky, if he can make the sun rise up in the east, if he can rise up from the grave after dying on a tree,
I know Jesus can take care of me.
'Cause he can
walk on the water where I am.
He can
calm the raging storm when my ship is going down. Why should I worry when I have this need? I know Jesus can take care of me.
Can save the Hebrew children in the fire. If he can deliver Daniel from the lion's teeth, for the children of Israel could part the Red Sea.
I know Jesus can take care of me.
He can
walk on the water where I am.
And he can
calm the raging storm when my ship is going down. Why should I worry when I have this need? I know Jesus can take care of me.
Can
walk on the water where I am.
If he can
calm the raging storm when my ship is going down, why should I worry when I have this need?
I know Jesus can take care of me. Yes, I know Jesus can take care of me.
Take your Bibles tonight, if you will. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians, chapter number 3. I want you to bear with me tonight. I probably... As I look back on 38 years of Bible teaching, probably the hardest thing for me to have been able to do while teaching the Scripture is to get the hearers to understand the dividing points of the Bible. And there are specific dividing points of the Bible. A lot of times when we go to the Scripture, We take a lot of things for granted, and we don't, things that we take for granted, we don't seem to search them out to put them in their right perspective. Once you get your place there, if you will, I want you to go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 10. Genesis chapter number 10. And I want to kind of, starting our family revival, you know, you think about the family. Yesterday I sat on the tailgate and I had probably 15, 20 guys around. And the first guy that came up to me had his son with him. And you could tell there was something different about him. And right off the bat, we got into conversation. And he talked about that he and his wife had been married 18 years. And this year, she came up to him and said she wanted to live a different life. And left him and the boy. Now they're on their journey of their life, trying to put some things back together and whatever. And we were just sitting there talking. And then a man, elderly man, he said he was to my elder. I did not tell him how old I was, so I wanted him to think of that. But anyway, he sat there on my tailgate, and you could tell he'd been worn and torn and had that alcoholish look on him, but ex-banker, retired banker from Effingham County. And he said, well, my wife and I 2 years ago got a divorce, and we had been married 42 years. Boy, I sat and listened to that. Josh, we're 46 years, I believe 46 years this year. And I said, you can never let your hands down. You just got to work at it to have a family. And one was a younger man. I guess he was probably in his 30s. The other, 40, been married 42 years, retired man, a very educated man. And I said, just sitting there listening to this and talking with him and being in public with a group of people, there was not much really I could say. And other than I just said, you know, well, the Lord has blessed me. And we Joyce and I, my wife and I have been married so many years and has given us a good life. And I told him I just couldn't imagine her coming up to me one day and say, you know, it's over with. That's a possibility. As it is a possibility, me coming up to her one day and telling her, I've just decided to throw in the towels. I said, we've raised our children, and all that's over with now. And I don't think the Lord would hold it too much against me that you're on your own. And I could twist some scripture around and make it sound pretty good to me. But the truth of the matter is, Joyce and I are family. I wanted to do a search. I've never done this before. And I wanted to go back in the Bible and look at that law of first mention where family is used. Now, like I say, when you start dealing with the division or dividing the different dispensations of the Bible and all of that, most people just right off the top of their head, well, first family was Adam and Eve. But did you know there is not one word in the Bible that says they were a family? In fact, it only gives their first two children, still omitting the word family, that they had two children and one of them was a rebel, one of them was right. It doesn't say a word in the Bible about the reaction to the rest of the family when Cain slew Abel. Doesn't say a thing about a family. But yet we would say they were a family, okay? But the Bible doesn't say they were a family. In fact, in one chapter, the family is mentioned three times in what we call the Table of Nations. Now, the Table of Nations takes place after the Noahic flood. The whole world has been destroyed by water. Everything is dead, except for the eight human beings that's on that ark and the animals that were placed in the ark. They come off of that ark. And the tables of nations are set up in Genesis chapter number 10. In verse number 2 of those three boys, we have Japheth in verse 2, Ham in verse 6, and Shem in verse 21. In dividing up the families of these sons, it divides them up. The sons of Japheth, then he goes to Gomer, Magog, and all of those which we know go north. That's the European area. That's we'll see this Gog and Magog later on before the earth is destroyed and God's judgment comes on there as they come and try to annihilate the Jews off the face of the earth. But specifically when he ends up with these this group of genes from Japheth, in verse number 5 it says, "And these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations." Then we come with Ham. Now Ham's family was a mess. If you know anything about your Bible, the family of Ham receiving the curse from Noah, which actually did not go to Ham but went to the rest of his family, the Canaanites especially. It still says that Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan, go look those up in the book of Ezekiel, future prophecy. You'll find out that those are part of the wicked nations that's going to come in and try to annihilate the Jew. But he still says down in verse number 20, "These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations." That word "there" is specifically says that they are not the family of Japheth's. Japheth hath their own families. Ham has their own families. And then Shem, which the line of Christ is going to come through. It says also in verse 21, "Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, and the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born." That's all it says. Then you go to verse number 31. "These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and in their lands." Now, bear with me tonight because I want to put a fine line in this thing. And I could step a little over on one side and step a little over on the other, and I might could hurt some feelings and beliefs, okay? But I want to rightly divide this thing to kind of crank us up of what we're doing with a family revival, okay? Adam, up to the time of the Noahic flood, they were not classified as families. There was a gene that was present from Adam by genealogy of the Gospel of Luke that Christ would come through in humanity. Of course, the tribe of Israel wasn't even Israel, Genesis chapter number 12, two chapters after the Noahic flood. So there was no nation. There was just a group of people in one big old lump. And that big old lump had leaven in it. And that leaven was drowned by God. Still, the word family is never used. And then the table of nations comes where God now, in chapter number 11 of Genesis, is going to scatter people all over the world. He's going to divide up oceans and mountains and valleys and deserts and all of this just like that. And he's going to have people in those. Supernatural miracle of God. Languages are going to come in. Colors are going to come in of skin of people and all of that. And at this point, this is where God puts us in sections of families. Okay? Now, our family that we're sitting here in 2015 tonight at Bible Baptist Church, our roots of our family, if we could really work them back, would go to one of those three boys. They would go to one of those three boys. Okay? That is the root of our original family roots. And that would be a hard thing to do because the family has come under so much attack since Genesis 10 and 11. Then God got him a family and he called them Israelites. And he chose them, gave them seven covenants to them and promised that no harm would ever bother them to the point of where they would be totally, as a family, destroyed. That family still lives today. The world is still trying to get rid of that family because they're God's family. And in trying to get rid of them, they still cannot do that because of the power of this thought concept of a family. God originated it. God put it together. It's in our society. Our society is made up of families. We move through the whole Old Testament, and you are going to be hard to find any instruction, construction of how to put a family together before the church age. When we can apply, we can go to Adam and Sarah, take all kinds of applications, but we got to base it with church age doctrine to make it even sound right. If you take away the church age that we live in and all the epistles of the New Testament, we would not have any basic instructions on how to raise a godly Christian family. It's not there. Now, like I say, you can take what you know now, you can take those doctrines and go look for stories in the Old Testament and apply that doctrine. Well, Abraham was doing it when he did this. David was doing it when he did this. Jacob was doing this when he did this. Joseph was doing this when he did it there. But always the basis of that family application only comes from your New Testament. That's that fine line there that we're walking. I'm trying to walk right down that line tonight, all right, to get you to see something. Since that time, and all the way up to 2015, we have had God's children and those that are not saved, called the unbelievers, that some have produced great families, and some's families have exploded and never been put back together again. We all know how to do that. The Bible gives us that. Okay? As we do that, we come to where we are tonight at Bible Baptist Church, and the preacher is going to preach on a subject. It's a family thing. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, I've taken us to an unusual doctrinal statement that is given in Ephesians chapter number 3, which is our doctrinal state. In that doctrinal state, verse number 14 says, "For this cause," Paul speaking here, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he acknowledges as he starts off that you Ephesians, I'm sitting here in jail in Rome, and I want to pray for all of you families in Ephesus. But I want to make sure that you understand I'm not praying specifically for fathers to be fathers, for mothers to be mothers, and for children to be children. But he said, "I'm praying for you because we are an unusual family." He goes down to these Ephesus Christians, and he mentions the difference in our family and their family, the lost people. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That's an unusual statement there. He doesn't mention a father. He doesn't mention a mother. He doesn't mention a child. He does not mention a genealogy or a gene of a human being. He's saying a family. Now, let me break this down for you the way it came into my mind as I thought about this. First of all, there's a mere word involved in this text of verse number 15 that I will draw my importance threefold, starting at the top and moving down. Number one, he says, "Of whom the whole family." Circle that word family. What is this thing called a family? Well, as God places it and Paul places it here, first of all, it carries a definition with of unity. That's an important thing right there. That if a family is going to be a family, it has to have a certain type of unity to itself. I've mentioned to Joyce through the years, many years, it doesn't seem like I ever see any parents that say, "My children turned out the way I wanted them to." And that comes from a lot of Christians more so than lost people. In fact, I see a lot of lost people that actually have a pretty good batting average with their children compared to the percentage of Christianity. When I hear that statement and I think about that statement, in this scripture that Paul has given to us, he's talking about a specific type of unity. If you're going to have, or you're going to have a building, okay, you're going to have a building, the automatic thing that goes with that building, that unifies that building, is architecture work. It's got to have a building plan. If you go out like I do and you build any kind of a building, none of it fits right. You just end up cutting piece after piece. It's not level. It's jaggy cornered. The wire don't end up like it's supposed to when you get down to the end the way you thought it would be in your mind. Unless you have the mind to sit down and to unify the plans of how to build that thing you're building, and then you build that thing to the plans. Family's that way. A person doesn't build a family. No man, no father builds a family. A family builds a family, but it's got to be a unified effort between everyone in that family and do it by a specific set of blueprints. If you just go out and have a family, and we see a lot of this day and time of people just having family, get governmental money to just keep up with the Jones next door. Cedric, 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 Cedric. The truth of the matter is, a family is built upon a blueprint. Somebody's got to sit down. Then you have the other side of the road that I'm talking about that says you don't have a blueprint. You just keep having babies till God says you can't have no more babies. The truth of the matter is, my family is both of those. We wanted four children. And God stopped us right in our tracks, and Joyce could not have any more children. So we accepted those three, and we worked with those three, and I feel like we had a good family. But that's not what we based the family on as a father, as I looked at that family and said, I think we got a good family. No, 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 no. I looked at the blueprints of what a family is, and I and their mother and the children together, we built with those plans in view. It had to be a unity. A flock of sheep sets forth the unity of a true shepherd. He's got all his sheep under control. A shepherd has a flock of sheep. He knows those sheep. He counts those sheep. He takes care of those sheep. Those sheep understand him, and he understands those sheep, much like God. We are sheep and God is our shepherd. We know God's voice. God knows our voice. And we have to unify with our shepherd to have the right kind of flock. Just very simple. The title of citizenry, of being citizens, this is the main political agenda for the 2016 political election right now, amnesty, and bringing non-citizens or non-family members into our nation of family members. The problem is they want to bring their architect work on how they deem a family is into our citizenry to where we say this is what we do as a family. And it's not working. We've got so many different terms of what a family is, and everybody's doing, humanly speaking, what they're doing. It's called an earthly family. He says this, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Primarily, when we look at a family, 90% of the world looks at it from one perspective, earthly. Earthly, total earthly. But God says our family is totally different than that. Our family is both heavenly and earthly. That our family is not over with when we cease to breathe earthly lives. Down here, we go to where supposedly if the blueprints were read right, we go to join our family. Lost people don't have that hope because their family will live in terror for the rest of all eternity. But we are different. I think of a military. A military actually sets forth a unity of pursuit. That's what a military is for. Pursues the enemy. Drives the enemy away. You tear a nation's military down, you break a nation's military back, you break it down, then that nation will lose its family as a nation because other nations will come in with their military and overtake ours. You break your family down earthly to earthly, and you break down the architect work of your earthly family, and you let the enemy come into your family, then those enemies are going to change your family to their family. We've seen it right before our eyes. By just letting simple kids come into our home to visit or whatever, we could be opening a military action of Satan working to overthrow our home completely. And we'll do it most likely because we're unaware what the blueprint is of a family that's in heaven and in earth. I think it carries the definition of the word instructive, instruction. You cannot have a unity where there is no instruction. We had a meeting Friday night, and on that meeting Friday night, we got all our heads together and we changed some things and we're moving things around for the safety of the family. Make sure the family's taken care of. Now, we know visitors that come in, they won't know. Just grab them and pull them with you where you're supposed to go if an emergency takes place. But the family has a family plan in case emergency goes on now. We've never had one of those. And the family knows that. If you weren't here, you need to make sure that you get what that meeting was all about so you won't get separated from the family. If emergency takes place, the family's going to be out there on that front lawn or running out these doors. And you're going to stay in here and get yourself in trouble because you didn't get the blueprint of the family safety plan. See how simple that is? It's not hard at all. Please stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Now, an earthly family in the instructive state, no doubt the father, by the actual plan, is what we would call the unity of the relationship. Boy, that's changed a lot now because of sin. And fathers are hard to find. And when they are found, they are stretched and pulled so far apart. They know what's right, but they can't do right because it's an impossibility to do that. That's why there has to be a greater family of than an earthly family, because an earthly family can only go so far. You have to find a family and get in a family that's much stronger than that. That no matter what the earthly family is going through, there is a heavenly family that is much stronger and gets you through as a family what you need to get through. Instructive in the unity of nature, just nature. Have you ever looked at nature in a daddy and a mama and children? A bird, a dog, a cat. You can go on up the list of some of the weirdest things that animals have, that fishes have, that fowls have, that by a God-given nature, the architect of that bird family or whatever family is unbelievable how they take care of themselves as a unit. If not, the fowl could become a fish, and the fish could become a gorilla, and the gorilla could become that. But because of earthly family ties, there's a thing in nature that is pre-instructed in that individual that makes them live fine. Animals do not become, extinct, that's the word I'm looking for. They don't come extinct unless a man does that. We have a lot of animals that are gone here and there. Flood destroyed how many? Lord only knows. And the reason for that is because of man's sin. I mean, everything that happens to an animal, fowl, fish, or whatever, and they become extinct, the reason they do that is because sinful man has done something wrong with nature. Very simple. That endangered list of animals, y'all look at it sometimes. When man started out after the flood, it pretty well began to multiply, and then all of a sudden, man broke it all off because man lost the blueprint of how to deal with a family. Stay with me. Now, the same nature is what derives our joy, our excitement, our prosperity, our everything is a natural desire. I mean, there is no family, a husband and wife that has children, or a man and woman that's not married that has children, that does not want their family to be a success. Oh, honey, it looks like we got a good murderer here. This is going to be a good one. I believe I can just look at him right from the cradle. I can tell by the way she's running her mouth. Oh, she's going to be gossiper number one of 2015. I believe she can get. We don't do that. We look at those babies in the crib, and by nature, we automatically say to ourselves, you know, I think they're going to be a good one. We're going to do our best and all of that. Sin gets into the picture. Everything goes haywire because the blueprints were not understood when that child was born. All this goes in a family. Joyce and I mentioned a while ago, and I didn't finish what I said. Joyce and I have said many a time, since our children have been gone, have just looked at each other, and she'd get depressed or something, or maybe I'd get upset about something or whatever. And she'd say the same thing to me. I'd say to her, she'd say, you know, after it's all said and done, honey, it's just me and you. Just me and you. They got to give an account for what they got to do. There's nothing we can do. We couldn't change them. We tried. What are we going to do? I can't do anything because that's an earthly family. The whole thing about when children are raised, it's great if you can keep the segment of children around for, you know, until granddaddy dies. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how long you keep the family, quote, quote, together. When you get old in age, you're going to see some things or have been gone through some things in the family that you wish would have never happened, and you'll actually get mad at God, why'd you let this happen to me? Because I gave them everything they needed. That's an earthly family. Are you noticing here, I'm really emphasizing an earthly family. Okay? So I want you to get a hold to. We are nothing in here but earthly families to start with, number one. And an earthly family has no way of getting the right blueprint unless something supernatural happens to them. You're just on your own. Hope you do good. The lots fall good this way. Rains on the just and the unjust. Winds blow from the east, but also from the west, the south, and the north. The winds all blow, and some have a good family. Some are destined not to have a good family. I don't think any of that's true. I believe every family, if they would meet the God that I know, would have the capability of living older and seeing their children be a success for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care what situation happens in the family. I don't care if divorce happens in the family, whatever happens in the family. I've seen families just completely give up when one thing goes wrong in a family. Well, I didn't train them to do that. Everything's over with. God, you let me down. I ain't going to church. You would not believe how much of that I see. And something's been misplaced in our earthly families today that I hope in these three nights are going to maybe shock many of us back into the realization if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even have a family, much less a good one. Or we wouldn't have the capability of having a good family. I mean, here's Bill and Jeanette. Bill's a happy Christian, a veteran. There's Jeanette gone through cancer. There's Bill looking at, you know, he's night shouting and carrying on and all that kind of stuff. That's just Bill. That's the way he does. And, you know, he's got his cast off his foot and he's sitting there, boy, I'm strong. He tried to break my hand when he shook it. Old man like that can't break a young man's hand like that. But anyway, he's trying to do it. When he shook my hand, I said, oh, the strength you got there. He hadn't heard me talk about the arthritis I got in my thumbs, and when people shake my hands like that, I want to get my hand out of their hand as quick as I can. You hurt me tonight, Bill. Shame on you. All right. But the truth of the matter is, around November, he's looking at two heart valve surgeries. That's what he's facing tonight. But Bill's not worried about that. Bill's kind of like me. You know, the Lord can come back for them. Even so, come Lord. You know, for he has to have that. Because his idea, he and Jeanette, you know, how can I say this kindly? They are right at the top of the hill getting ready to go over it. Okay, that sounded good, didn't it? I was kind. I could have said they're over the hill. They're just two wrinkled up pieces of flesh out there. You know, I could have said all that. But I said they're at the top of the hill, you know, kind of getting ready to go. But they're happy. I mean, there's something there that Bill and Jeanette's got that the average American earthly family is trying to buy their way to do it, do what they can do to get it, but somehow they cannot get a hold to it. Is that God that mean? He just makes his family that way and busts up this family that way and destroys that family that way and that way? No, that is not a true picture of God of this Bible. God has a blueprint that if we get a hold to it and understand this key word right here of what family means, it means a unit that has a blueprint, a building that is built to specifications that the architect knows more about the building than the building is known by the people that house it. The link word of the scripture. We see the mere word is the word family. It's an instructive word. It's a unity word. And then the link word of the scripture. There's a link word here that links with family. How many times do you read in the Bible when it says family, you take a special notice when this link word comes up, whole family? And that's not spelled H-O-L-E, that's spelled W-H-O-L-E. Whole means they're sunk, boom, sinkhole, they're gone. But he says the whole family. Can you imagine? Boy, I wish our family was a whole family. I don't mean everybody present at Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, our family had the same wave, had the same walk, had the same talk, had the same ideas. It wasn't that we had such an earthly plan that we're going to put it in a book and sell it to somebody. It wasn't that I'm going to run all over the country. Well, all right, honey, our kids are over with and they're complete success now. Folks, I resign tonight and I'm going into evangelism and I'm going to be a family evangelist because our three kids turned out okay. Well, the only problem with that is they're not dead yet. And there's still plenty of time for them to blow it. My whole ministry's gone. Why don't I just go ahead and keep praying and realize that our family is a whole family and do what a whole family does, and that is we're under the care of God and let's all stay with God. Let's stay with the Lord. Let's stay with what's worked in our family and give it to our families and give it to our families and our families. And then sometimes the devil is still going to sneak in, but you never defer from the blueprint. He says there's one portion that is found on earth. And you know, a lot of times what is not said, I remember years ago, Von DeKay and all of us, we were taking them back to Crown College, and Nikki, you might have had a girlfriend with you that came home with us that weekend and went back. Always went to church on the way, taking them back to college, stopped somewhere up in the Carolinas, go to church on Sunday. It would have been Sunday morning or Sunday night. It was a Sunday night, wasn't it? I forgot why it was a Sunday night. But anyway, we had left here going back. Evidently, we're going to stay up there a little while. And we went all over this little town trying to find a church. And every Baptist church, doors were locked. Sunday night, didn't have no church. So down on the far end of town, we found this little Church of God. And it just so happened all of the girls that we had with us were singers. Nikki played the piano. They all sang. So we went in the little church. A lot of old people were in there. The preacher was gone. The assistant was there. He was preaching that night. And we walked in. I introduced ourselves. I'm Mike Landrum, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Brunswick. This is my wife, Joyce. Some girls were taken back to Bible college. And I'm going to tell you right now. And I said this. These girls can sing if you want to hear some good singing. And, of course, they said, you know, women. Yeah. So they got up and they sang. And I'm telling you what, they were speaking in tongues. Didn't one speak in tongues, honey? Yeah, one spoke in tongues. And we didn't know if she was speaking in tongues or she had some bumblebees in that hair bun she had that high on top of her head. We didn't know which it was, but she was out of control. And I'm telling you what, them folks, I mean, they were set on fire. They had a great time. I felt like some of the family was there. You know, some of the family down home don't do that. And the whole family, you know, the whole family reaches out a little bit. You know, if you got over one child, they go in different directions, different ways of life. You got to adapt. You don't change their life to fit as if they were still at home. They're going to go. Leave them alone. Let them go. Let them take the architect work with them, and they'll build. They'll build. It might take longer on some than others, but they'll finally get it built one day. They know where to come back to. When a backslidden Christian gets out of the will of God, they know, find a Bible preaching church, get back in it, and they'll get revived again, and here they go again. That's just the way it works. That's the power of the Bible. That's how the family is put together. They don't walk off from it and say, well, let's never go to church again. Can't do that if you're part of the family. Because remember, discipline is a major part of the family. And our Father in heaven, who's the head and the father of our family, in heaven and in earth, you got to remember, He disciplines us every once in a while. When we get kind of rudy, unruly, or whatever it is, He'll bring us back in the fold. He'll do that. But the preacher got up and preached that night, and it was fair to medium. But we got back in the car, and we got going up the road, and I said, well, baby, what do you think? And she said, honey, it frustrates me. I said, what frustrates you? She said, because of the opportunities he had to say in his message to get somebody saved, but he never took a chance and said it. In other words, it's what he didn't say was the important part of the message, that he could have said. Same concept here, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Did you notice there's a family that's not named here? He doesn't say about the family of hell. He says the family in heaven and the family in the earth. He doesn't say a thing about that other family that's burning in hell. But he talks about, when you talk about the whole family, the link word is talking about some of our mamas and some of our daddies and some. I got a brother, I know. I got a mother, I know. Dad, I'm not sure. And maybe that might be one of the reasons I won't spend all my time in heaven trying to figure out if Daddy made it or not. But I know Mama's going to be there, and I know Robbie's there. When he died, my brother died of cancer. Robbie loved the Lord, had a great testimony, served the Lord. And doesn't make any difference whether he's Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Eastern Baptist, Western Baptist. He's saved, and he's part of the whole family. Sometimes we need to remember that. We're not the only one in his family. Everybody, you need to give, don't you give your children a time to speak up or forever hold your peace? What do y'all think about this, kids? You feel like you're in a little talking going on here. We ought to include the kids in this. What do y'all think? And a lot of times you get the answer from those kids if you listen real good. Well, a lot of times, preach ought to listen to the church because we're the whole family. And I know a lot used to be a family of this church that are now in glory. And some of y'all got one foot head in that direction. And some of you might be there 4 in the morning, but I'm telling you what, when you go, you're going to be there till I get there. How are we going to meet? What are we going to do? I have no idea. But I'll tell you, I'll be with the family, and I'll be with my daddy forever and forever and forever. That makes me happy enough. Daddy's always had the blueprint anyway. I don't have the blueprint other than something written down in Scripture on how to raise mine down here, and that's to get them saved. Listen to me now. Get them saved, priority over their curriculum, over their education, over their jobs, over their everything, their look, their sports, everything. I gotta get them in the family in heaven and in earth. That's priority. I'm glad you know we win people to Christ out there and bring some in and get them saved. That's great. That's commendable. What about your family? How can you bear to go to heaven and your family not be with you one day? There's your priority. How many of you have, as a mom and dad, have even a sister or a brother, have you witnessed to your brother to make sure they're in the family? Now, they know they're a Landrum. I mean, you go to Nicole. Nicole, are you a Landrum? Yeah, I'm a Landrum, but I'm a Miller now, Daddy. So you're a Millerite, huh? Okay, she's not a Landrum anymore. But the truth of the matter is, she'll always be a Landrum because she's part of my whole family. And even some of those old I don't like that have misbehaved themselves or whatever, they still my family. I remember Mitch one time, I was preaching in the pulpit one Sunday night, and I told him to go pack his bags and get out of the house. I didn't want to see him anymore. As soon as service was, he went to the house, and he was pulling drawers out, putting clothes in paper bags. And got under conviction myself for preaching it. Went over there and says, hey, put the clothes back in the drawer. I was stupid in what I said. They ain't your family. I mean, how do you throw your own kid out? Well, they won't come to church. I think, Miriam, you hit it on the head tonight. Pray for them. I got a daughter that's wayward. I got a son that's really wayward. Miriam's family. Miriam's not her family. If you do that, you're just looking earthly. My family's better than their family. Well, you just got an old earthly family is all you got. Because if you're saved and somebody else is saved, you got the whole shebang, whether you want them or not. They're all your family. What's this family revival about? Actually, it's just to stir up our families to understand our families are significant, especially if they're connected with Christ. They're not something you herd around, take trash out. You know, we give them all job. Well, let's see, good family, got to teach them discipline, got to teach them that. By nature, you know that. A dog knows that. A chicken knows that. An elephant knows that. You know, if they're going to be a big elephant, they got to teach them, you know, it's time to waller, time not to waller. Time, don't get in the water when it's high. The crocodiles are there or the hippos are there. They teach them, they give them instruction all the time. And a lot of times we think we're godly families where really we're just instructees and really have just an earthly family. Because I'm going to tell you, one day they're going to leave and you're not going to be able to recorrect anything. Because you've been an instructor. You go home and you have preacher stew, deacon stew, church stew, you name it. You're going to raise some hypocrites. I mean, they can hear it. They know exactly what's going on. They hear you in the back seat when you go home. Best thing to do, you just don't need to tell your family. You need to come in the church, stand up, and tell the whole family. That link word, whole family. Hey, y'all, I just want to let you know, Brother Mike and them, there he needs to go. He's been here too long. He knows us too good. There's your problem right there. He knows us too good. We know him too good. We know what he's going to say. We know how he's going to react. Well, doesn't the family do that? When your children misbehave, don't they know you're going to be coming in the room in just a matter of time and going to deal with you? Don't they know what food you like? Don't they know what you need? And you know, I hate okra. I hate liver. I'm never going to eat, never have since I was a kid. But let me tell you something. My mama and my daddy thought liver was good for me to build up good red blood. And that's what I ate. I didn't want to eat it, but that's what I was instructed to eat. God says, come to church. You don't sit there and debate with God and say, well, the whole family's going to be down there. Why ain't you going to be down there with the family? Why don't we just say, hey, we'll see the family tomorrow night. And for those that aren't here, why wouldn't they be here? Because they don't consider themselves a part of the family. They got their own family out trying to doing their own thing and building it their way and doing it this way and doing it that way. I'm going to tell you what, more than a book and a seminar, and I don't care what you go to, just a regular 3 times a week in a Bible preaching church will give you more to secure your family and your children, everything, the whole thing, than you'll ever get anywhere else. It's going to have flaw in it. If that is not so, if that is so, why? Because God put a church here and he didn't put it nowhere else in the Bible. He took that body of Christ and said, you are my family in heaven and in earth. You're just not earthly. Your job down here is, well, I'm just going to build my family, and once they all get off and they all turn good, I'm just going to go ahead and die, roll over somewhere and do that. No, you never will. That's an earthly family. That's what earthly people do. But we're heavenly. Rest assured, you need to teach them that one day when this thing's over with and they die, you're going to be long gone ahead and you'll see them up in glory. What that means, I have no idea, but it sure sounds good. I'll see you in glory. Think about that. Then I had a third thing here. I call the crowning word. All right, I had the definition of the word family. Then I had the close link word, which is the word whole family. But there's another little word in that called named, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, that word name does not refer to any of those words in verse 15. They go back to verse 14, the last three words. Those last three words are this: for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that name that is above every name? Clayton said tonight, I'm the way, the truth, the life. You know that name? If it was not for that name, we would have never understood what the word family ever meant. And all we would have is something earthly, which is carnal and fleshly, and would do away with time and burn in hell forever and ever. But we have the hope in a family of God that are saved people, that we have loved ones that have gone on before us. We'll be with them one day forever with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What better definition could I define what a family is? Now, I'm sure these next three men that are going to be preaching are going to take some words of instruction in our Bible and deal with some things, but I've never thought of it this way before. Our family will love the Lord because I love the Lord, and Joyce loves the Lord. They won't have an option. Well, you can go to church tonight if you want to go. Any of you girls get an option to come to church tonight? Who are you? You're not a familiar face to me. Who are you? That was you with your mom back yonder. Y'all were here this morning. Okay, I looked down here and saw you three girls tonight. And I said, well, maybe it's just her friend. But yeah, okay, I got you. And boy, y'all just started coming back and you came all the way to the front row. Let me ask you something. When you go, are you a Christian? If you were dropped dead right now, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. How about mama? She is. Both of y'all are saved. Do you feel better tonight than you have in a long time for coming back to church? You just feel better. You're with friends. But really, you're not with friends. You're family. You're not going to fit out yonder. Look at that. That's not even a five. That's holding hands. Yeah. Yeah, she's my friend. She's my family. She's my sister. We've been trained to separate our families from every other family. And to a point, that's right. That's right. That's right. But I'm straddling the fence tonight. We need to get a concept of what a true family is. And that only comes by supernatural birth. And I'm going to tell you what. If one family member can't stand up for another family member, you're pretty poor family. Pretty poor family. What about Gracie tonight? Is Gracie? Yeah, Gracie's here. Gracie didn't do nothing wrong. But she don't have a family. About every other week, a new single guy comes in church. She runs up to me. You think he'd make a good one? Yeah. Yeah. You think he'd make a good one? She wants to get married. She wants to have 500 children, don't she? Sure do. Wants to give Lane some brothers and sisters. But her husband died. God took him. But he's saved, wasn't he? And you're going to be with him one day. But I'm going to tell you what. Gracie's got a family still. She's got a family. Not her daddy, Gary. But we got Gracie. Okay, we put up with Larry to have Gracie. Yeah, that's what we do. But you know, I tell her all the time, I said, just wait and let God put him in your lap. I know Gracie, I know you'll look at other families, they happy and all that, but it ain't all it looks like. Okay. Joyce, what did they say about mental disease? It's what? Yeah, sanity is totally overrated. Yeah, it's not what it looks like. Okay. But you want one of your own. You want your husband. You want that. Good land, y'all. That's our sister. Shouldn't we be encouraged? Shouldn't we be helping look for a good, strong Christian man? Or whatever. You know, shouldn't we, you know, be an encouragement to her? Think about this. That's what a family is. Family is your family. I understand that, but you know where I'm coming from. These boys got a lot of brothers in here. These girls got a lot of sisters in here. Yeah. We're family. Don't you have a kid that you like better than the other one? Well, I'm sorry, Bob, I do. Okay. Especially right now, okay? Okay. But there's preferences. I mean, Nicole and Jacques, here's three kids. I mean, you know, if God was to say, Jacques, which one could you miss and not really miss? I'm sure Jacques would come up, God, it's number two. And that would be based about something they did today or something yesterday, because he loves all three of them. These young'uns, that's his family. But for some of you that don't understand what a family is, that's my brother. Mm-hmm. That's my brother. Kim's my sister. Yeah. Well, that's not the way I was raised. Well, you were raised earthly. You were raised earthly. God says our family is in heaven and in earth, based upon one Father, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that don't mean you got to live together. You know, I don't need you in my house, and you don't need me in your house. Okay? You got your house where your earthly family is. All right, then get it in order. It needs to get in order. That's what this week's about. We're emphasizing the family. But the truth of the matter is that your family is no different than my family if we're saved. Not a bit of difference. And tonight I want to bring that thought to you, because I've never thought of it in this light whatsoever. Family's not mentioned at all from Adam and Eve. A lot of people say, well, I think Adam and Eve had probably 100 children. Well, that's kind of odd, because as a family they were never mentioned. And the word wasn't even mentioned. The only thing Eve was I don't even think she wasn't called a husband. I mean, a wife, was she? Was she called a wife? Wife Adam? Where does it say that? What? Genesis 2? Says she's a mother of all living. Mother's family, but family's not used. Believe me, I'm speaking earthly now and I could be wrong. What did he say?
And they were both naked, the man and his wife.
The man and his wife, okay. The man and his wife. Okay, that's sure not good family, is it? Where were they when they did that? In the garden? Running around naked? Husband and wife. Okay, if that's first family, then let's strip down, y'all. Run around naked. Boy, that would be a show, wouldn't it? Whew. We would disclaim brothers and sisters right quick, wouldn't we? Yeah. See, so that's not family teaching there. That's just a statement the way God did it. I mean, you know, they brought their family through brother and sisters. I mean, that's the way they did it. That's the way God did it. If you don't like that, talk to God. Of course, we don't do that now. We're hopefully more civilized than that now. We're way down the corridors of time. And God has taught us as a family, here's how I want it to be done. And you go to your epistles and you read that and you understand it. Now, we ain't going to have families like this when the tribulation starts. Rapture takes place, we're out of here. No more family teaching. During the millennium, no family teaching. You have a new earth, no family teaching. We're just going to be with Papa. It's called Abba Father. We're just going to be Papa Daddy. That word Abba means Papa Daddy. We're just going to be with Him. So we're living in that little bullseye of where it's totally different. And it's all based upon whether you're saved or whether you're not. First priority mom and dad ought to have is that they're saved. Number two, that their children are saved. They understand it. And they are connected to a local New Testament church. That's it. And through that church, they'll get their training on how to raise a godly family. And when everything breaks loose on your family and tears it up, our Father is still right there. And we are His. And He has other family that's a part of our family that will come in and rescue us when we go through the fiery trials of whatever it might be. So really, this starting off with the family tonight, when's the last time you thank God for the rest of your family? You don't pick them. Oh, I want one of the girls, I want Christian to be my sister. Amber said, I like Christian better than anybody else. That's earthly family. But godly families, Gracie, Nicole, Molly, Gracie, Pat. And on and on and on. When's the last time you thank God for being connected with the Bible Baptist Church family? Amen. How many of you are going to be here tomorrow night because you want your family to be better for the Lord? It's the only reason you're going to come. Because some of you think you already know how to build a family because you got two or three kids that turned out good. So this is, you know, I'm so far above all that. I don't need to come in here and hear the same thing over and over again. I guarantee what you heard tonight you ain't never heard before. I've never seen it in a book, never read it. But I studied it. And I want to go back to where that first word, it shocked me. Surely God would have said something with Adam and Eve, their family. Cain and Abel, they were, you know, it just said they bear. They conceived once and bared twice. Yeah, conceived once, bared twice. That's twins. None of the families mentioned because there wasn't a family. But now we are a family. So totally different than any area of chronological order. We are different. And the only thing that's going to give us success in our families is our personal as a father, personal as a wife, personal as children, as our relationship is with Jesus Christ. You have a child that's a rebel. The reason he's a rebel is not because of Uncle Joe's bloodline or granddaddy's bloodline or whatever. That's not the reason. He's born a sinner. You need to get God in him. You can't beat God in him. You need to sit him down, look him eyeball to eye when he's a young kid and say, hey, this is who you are. But some of you dads hadn't even talked to your children. I don't want to get on all that. Look, Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your love, your grace, your joy, your of whatever that... who was it, Elijah, sitting on a juniper tree saying, I'm the only one in this thing, Lord. Jezebel's coming after me. It's all over with. He said, no, 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 no. We got a cave full of preachers up yonder that are instructive and unified on what this Israeli family is all about. And boy, they just kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. God, help us to realize tonight, as every person that's saved in this room tonight, we have the capability of having a successful family through your eyes. Lead me, guide me, instruct me, watch over me, speak to me, blessed Holy Spirit, to show me how to raise my earthly family so that one day we might all be in heaven together. Bless now. Give us a good week in this revival. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.